want to challenge you with this idea tonight, as you'll see that's on the screen, with anxiety. And I'm not a psychiatrist, and I'm not coming to it from a psychiatrist's point of view. We're going to take one verse in the Bible. In fact, it's a verse that we know. In fact, it's a verse that Pastor used a couple of weeks ago when he talked about praying for our children. He didn't go the direction I'm going, so we're going to still use the same portion of Scripture. If you want to eventually get to Philippians chapter 4. But before we do that, I want to ask you 6 questions. And if you either want to jot them down, you sure can. And if you're going to take notes, I encourage you to just go ahead and write these down, at least the answers down. You don't have to write the whole questions because they're, a couple of them are lengthy. But I'm going to ask you 6 questions. And if you don't write them down, that's fine. At least answer them in your mind. And I want to encourage you to answer them honestly, because I'm going to ask you some questions. And the first thing that comes into your mind, I'm going to encourage you to either write that down or to hold that in your thought, because a lot of times we'll reason through things and we'll reason ourselves out of an answer, and I don't want you to do that. But chances are tonight, this won't be difficult, at least question number one. As we come in on a Wednesday night, your week has, I don't know where you've been or what you've been doing this week, but many of you work, and so you come in on a Wednesday night and you're ready to relax a little bit. Your body is sitting down. You probably, maybe many of you have been on your feet all day, or your brain has been moving all day, and so it's a little slower pace. And so I want to ask you a few questions just to get us to think, but to lead us in to our study tonight, Philippians chapter 4. Question number one. Here it is. Number one, what currently has your mind consumed with worry or fear? Or what has you bothered? What tonight, boom, the first thing that came to your mind, this has me bothered. This has me bothered. Write it down. Think about it just for a minute. What has me bothered? Maybe somebody took your parking place. By the way, they're not ours. Did you know that? They're God's. But maybe somebody took your parking place. Maybe the paper towel was out in the bathroom. Maybe that's really got you bothered, right? I don't know. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's event. Maybe it's something that just took place this week. But something's in your mind. Okay, number one, what's got you bothered? Number two, what long-term issue is constantly or often on your mind? What long-term issue? Something that just, it won't go away. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a situation or issue. Maybe it's something you've been really praying for a long time. Something that's just not going away. Something that's constantly there. This won't leave you alone. It's been there for a long time. Question number three. What person are you most worried or concerned about? And that could be the positive or negative. Maybe you're concerned about them for a spiritual need or for a health need. Or maybe it's somebody that's got you consumed because of a negative or a bitterness. What person has you bothered? Let me put it that way. What person has you concerned? Who's on your mind? Who is on your mind? Number four. What do you wish that you knew the outcome of? What do you wish you knew the outcome of? What do you wish you knew the outcome of? Question number four. Question five, what either task or project or current project has you impatient? You're just not done, or you can't get it done, or we've been wanting to clean that garage out for, and it's just not getting done. Or he was supposed to be there at 10 o'clock this morning, he didn't show up till noon. Impatience. What has you impatient, or what has you bothered concerning patience or impatience? What task or project has you impatient? Number six, what things are you trying to take care of on your own strength that you know you should be giving to God? What currently, right now, are you trying just to fight through and plow through, and you really know you should be giving it to God, but you're not? Of course, these things only you can answer. Maybe your spouse is next to you, and maybe they're whispering things in your ear. I don't know. But obviously, you can tell by where we went with this. We all, at times, can be anxious or worried or fearful, because really those are the definitions of this word tonight, and we'll look at it here in Philippians chapter 6 or Philippians chapter 4 in just a minute. Of course, Philippians 4 and the verse we're going to look at, let's go ahead and look at it, and then let me talk about anxiety just a little bit. It says, be careful. And that word, be careful, means to be anxious. That's what the defined in the Greek is, to be anxious or to take thought for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I want to focus on this word anxious or anxiety for just a little bit. It's a fear. It's a feeling of worry, of nervousness or unease. Obviously, we live in a world of unease right now. We live in a world of worry. We take phone calls here at the church of people who are physically afraid or physically worried. You say, Pastor Dan, are you serious? The answer is yes. There are people that are worried, not just about COVID, not just about a government, but there is worry that consumes people. In fact, there's worry that consumes people. Some people can't get out of bed. Some people can't function. Some people can't get past the fear and the anxiety and the worry that is there. Usually it's an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome that brings us or causes us this fear. We would call it concern. We could define it as apprehension, apprehensiveness, consternation, unease, fearfulness, trepidation, agitation, suspense. Remember freshman English class in college, you'd have butterflies. Some people get butterflies in their stomach because they're on edge. Maybe you're waiting for a call back from the doctor, and the nervousness and the fear over a period of time builds up in our mind, starts to think through the possibilities. Or we get on WebMD, right? Or we get on another website, and we look at those things, and all of a sudden, oh, I have this symptom, and that's do you know what could happen to me? And before long, what happens? We build up worry within ourselves. There's the willies, the heebie-jeebies, the jitters, the shakes, the jumps, the yips, the collywobbles. I've never heard of the collywobbles, but it is a word. All those things are defining anxiety. And there are some things that have legitimate roots in making us anxious. Some things that really, there's a line between truly being concerned and being worried to a point where it is not good for us. There's nervousness that can come. There's nervous disorders that can come. So there's this fear. But before we go any further, I don't want us to confuse this fear with a healthy fear that I believe we all have or should have. In fact, the Bible even talks about we ought to have a fear of God, an awesomeness of God and who God is. And that awe of God and who God is and that fear of a mighty and a holy God is really what keeps us from having a fear that's unhealthy. It's that fear of a mighty and a holy God. And so I want us to look at just a little bit of that perspective. We know this verse in 2 Timothy. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. If God gives us that, who gives us the opposite of that? Who gives us the fear? Satan does, right? Absolutely. So who gives us this negative fear? It's Satan. We also know 1 Corinthians 14, God is not the author of what? Confusion. Who wants us to be confused? Well, Satan does. See, God wants us to live in peace, correct? Sure. Satan doesn't want us to live in peace. He wants us to live confused. He wants anger. He wants frustration. We live in angry. I've said this before, and you know it, because if you ever shop at Walmart and somebody takes your parking place, you understand the anger that's out there. We live in an angry world. I don't know why horns were really ever invented. People are angry. If you've ever heard my horn, though, I apologize. My horn, I didn't want to make the noise because it's embarrassing. But if I've ever honked at you, you know what I'm talking about. I'd really want to get one of those train horns. That's really what I want to get on my car. But boy, people are angry, aren't they? They honk that horn, other gestures that may happen. And why is that? Because we live in an angry world. And part of this anger and part of this fear comes from the unknown. As believers in Jesus Christ, yes, there is an unknown, but there are a whole lot more knowns than unknowns. We know in whom we have believed. We know who holds our hand. We know who does not forsake us. Aren't you thankful tonight that God will never leave us nor forsake us? So with that, there are even anxiety disorders, and we're not here to go deep into this, but just letting you know, they involve more than just temporary worry or fear. There are symptoms such as feeling restless, easily fatigued, being irritable, having tensions, muscle tensions. And then there's even beyond that, beyond the physical, there's even extremely physical. There's panic disorders. There's heart palpitations. There's people that sweat because of just hearing some news or some bad news. Feelings of impending doom. Feeling of being out of control. Just feeling of I've got to hide myself because I'm so afraid and fearful. And there are people that actually deal with those. And some of those I know go to the psychiatric side of things. And so we as Christians, what happens if we get to that point? Should we get to that point? And we can fanatic or very, very clearly tonight say, no, we as believers shouldn't. But what happens when we get extra concerned, when we are unclear of really the future and what's going on and what's happening? What happens if something leads to a phobia? And so tonight our goal is to prevent us from getting to that stage or that place in our life. Are there natural concerns? You that are parents, there's natural concerns you have. There's education concerns. You want your kids to get good grades. There's physical concerns. You want to make sure they're healthy. You want to make sure they're growing naturally. And so understand those things. But those aren't things we fear. We don't have to fear those things. So what helps us? Is it medication? Is it support groups? Is it therapy sessions? Truth of the matter is, we have the answer right in front of us. Proverbs 3 says what? In verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not. Don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him, and He promises to do what? Direct our paths. Hey, we have the answers. That's our support. Not saying you can't go to support group. Not saying you can't go to the doctor. But what I'm saying is, we have the Word of God right in front of us. And so tonight, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look tonight at the progression of trust. Here in my life, I jotted down how it works in my mind. And it may not be exactly the same in yours. But I'm going to put down, or I wrote down, I didn't put on the screen. But in my life, the progression of worry. Here's how worry happens to me. It usually starts with some type of a circumstance. And then it produces a thought. And that thought turns sometimes into some type of a concern. And then I get concerned, and what's it turn into? It turns into worry. And then that worry turns into fear. And then what it does, it turns into a lack of trust. And who it gives me a lack of trust for is really in the one who allowed the circumstance in my life in the first place. And what it does, it gets me to distrust God. When we were at the Wilds a few years ago, I remember Willie Parton defining faith. It's an interesting definition. Faith is believing, I'm paraphrasing, faith is believing that God can even when it looks like He can't or He won't. See, faith is trusting God even when humanly it doesn't look possible. It doesn't look like I can get through this. But yes, faith is trusting in God. And so as I have this progression of worry in my life, instead of having this progression of worry, I ought to have 1 Peter 5:7. I ought to be able to cast my care, casting all your care upon Him for what? He careth for you. So whatever it is tonight, as we go through this, and all I'm going to do is break down Philippians 4, verse 6. And we're going to go through these words, and we're going to define them, but it's going to give us, and I don't want to use the word formula necessarily, but it is going to give us some steps of how we can tonight take our worry, take our anxiety, take our fear, take our whatever we want to call them, take them to God tonight. Because so many times we'll take our worries or our fears or concerns to another human being. Maybe we'll call somebody. A number of years ago, we lived in Michigan. We lived near Detroit. And in Detroit, there's a radio station, WJR, I think 760. I don't know if that's still the call letters or numbers. There's a man on the radio. His name is J.P. McCarthy. He has since passed away. But maybe once a week, J.P. McCarthy would do a section on his radio show called What's Bothering You? I'm telling you, that was one of the funnest half hours to listen to. And what they did, they let anybody and everybody, no matter what it was, call in, and they would just let it out. Most of the time, it had to do with other people driving. That's what most of it had to do with. It had to do with government. It had to do with health. It had anything that was bothering somebody. It could have had to do, sometimes it had to do with signal lights. Why did they put that signal light there? Why is there a train track through the middle of that road? I mean, just blurting it out. What's bothering you? And do you know what? God does want to know. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But can I tell you, as much as God wants to know what's bothering you, can I tell you tonight? He already knows. He already knows what's bothering you. But he does ask us, in this portion of Scripture, to share with him what is bothering us. What is our fears? What is our anxieties? What is our worries? So we can truly cast those upon him. So let's look at this. Now that I've shared the progression in my life of worry, that's how it happens. But let's tonight look at the progression of trust. First of all, number one, express your confidence or your trust in God. Express your confidence or your trust in God. And I get that from the first phrase, be anxious. And if you'll allow me to use that paraphrase, it says be careful, but the word careful means anxious or worried or bothered. So be anxious for nothing. We are implored not to be anxious about the things of this present life. There's to be such a confidence that we have in God and who God is to free our mind from anxiety, and such a sense of dependence on him and not a dependence on us or not a dependence on ourselves. And then it says there, be anxious for nothing. What do you think nothing means? Correct. Nothing. It means no. Not one, not any, none. So don't be worrisome. Don't be anxious for anything, for nothing, for not one, none. Whether it pertains to our body, whether it pertains to our minds, whether it pertains to relationships and friendships, conflicts, losses, trials, hopes, fears. And what are we to do? We're to spread it out before God, aren't we? All those things, instead of taking them to ourselves, we're to leave it out before God. We're to spread it on him, no matter what it pertains to in our life. Psalm 118, 8, 9, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Of course, 1 Peter 5, 7, we already mentioned, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 2 Samuel 22, 3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield out of the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. He is my refuge. He is my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. 2 Samuel 22, 31, as for God, his way is perfect. For the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Psalm 7:10. O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times. We are implored through God's word. Coming from Psalms, a man, we would say after God's own heart, but yet David struggled, we know, within his soul of worry and fear and concern. We could even say discouragement. Some would even use the word depression that David was. But yet David knew his God. And David knew who his God was. So not only do we see here that we are to express our confidence in God and our trust in who he is. Number two, we are to express our worship to God. Look down as we continue in that verse. What are we to do? We are to go to him in prayer. Express your worship to God. That word prayer there means our earnest worship, our communion with God, to focus on him. Is prayer your first go-to? When something goes wrong, whether it's as simple, I say simple because whenever you get a flat tire, it's usually not simple, right? Hot water heater, it's usually not simple. Unless you were born a plumber, it's usually not simple. A leaky faucet, or can I say a faucet that turns into a shower? That's not easy, is it? And what's our first? Is it anger? Is it frustration? Mine's blame. My first blame, somehow it's my wife's fault. If there's a, sorry, honey, but in there, if there's a plumbing problem in the house, it's got to be somebody. Because why? Why is it her fault? Because she's the closest to me. Have you ever noticed who we lash out the quickest at? Who? Those that we love the most. Shouldn't be, should it? But so many times we do. Because they're there. So what do we do when those things happen? What do we do when the car breaks down? What do we do when it's at the wrong time? What do we do when as simple as the kids forget the lunch and you get a phone call at work and now you got to figure out what to do? How do you respond to that? Oh, it's probably not the biggest event in the planet, is it? But all of a sudden, because it's inconvenient, it turns angry on us sometimes. So how do we respond to those things? Do we cast our care? Do we get angry? Do we get frustrated? Do we make it a point of consternation or worry? Or do we do what we're asked to do here in this verse? The first thing we're to do is to pray. How many times do we instantly fall on our knees and say, God, I need you. I need your help. Do we do it in those things? Or do we do it just in what we would call the big instances or the big problems or the big areas in our life? Or is prayer our go-to? Is prayer the thing that we do before anything else when something is going a different direction? And so we're asked here in this progression, we're told to pray earnestly, communing with God. Focus on him. Focus on his greatness and his goodness, his holiness, his attributes. Can God fix the need that you have? Yes. Can he supply your every need? Well, yes, he can. Do we focus on how great our God is? Or are we busy focusing on what he's not doing for us? Let me encourage you sometime. Just do a study of the attributes or the character of God. And the more you do that, the more you'll instantly realize he is the one that you and I will go to. He is our go-to. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of the lips, giving thanks to his name and worship him. That we should be, Ephesians 1, to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. O Lord, Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Psalm 150, verse a lot of you know, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good, and to sing praises unto the God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. You know what's not comely? Complaint. It's not pretty. Praise is comely. Praise is pretty. Praise is helpful. Praise is encouraging. Praise focuses on the one. Complaint focuses on this one. Focuses on us. I wonder tonight, even as we walked into church, was praise on your lips or was complaint on your lips? When you walked into home this afternoon, was praise on your lip or was complaint on your lip? Our flesh, it is not hard in our flesh to complain. My flesh, it is not hard to sin. My flesh likes sin. Let's be honest. Our flesh, and if we're all to be honest, our flesh likes sin. But we have the power of God in our lives, and we cast our life to Him in prayer. Say, God, help me through this. Help me not to live in the flesh. So, if praise is beautiful to God, then complaint obviously is the opposite. And we have grown, even in Christianity, we have grown to accept complaint as common. And it ought not to be. It ought not to be. We ought to praise God. And so what is your go-to? Is your go-to praise or is it complaint? Is your go-to prayer? Of course, we know there's different aspects of prayer. There's going to, before God, we would say we go to Him in adoration. We lift up, we praise God. In fact, some do the acrostic, acts, A-C-T-S, adoration. Confession, we confess our faults, we confess our sin before God when we pray. In fact, when we see the pattern of prayer, remember the disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray. And confession was part of that. There's thanksgiving. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. There's supplication on behalf. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Going on the behalf of others or the behalf of yourself. Supplicating to God for needs. So we are to express our worship. We are to pray. What else are we to do in verse number six? So we're not to be anxious. We're to trust God. Number two, everything by prayer. Number three, here's that word supplication. Number three, express your need to God. So we express our worship to God, that's prayer. Now we express our need to God. That is supplication. That's a prayer. That is a request. It means to beg, to petition, to beseech. It's a stronger word than just prayer. It is begging God. You ever beg when you're little for something? I know it wasn't nice to do that. Kids do it all the time. They're better at begging now. Here's how they do it now. Hey, mister, what are you eating? Is that chocolate? That's how they beg now. When I was a kid, they'd say, hey, can I have those M&Ms? That's what I would do. But now, you know, we teach our kids a little bit nicer. Hey, that really looks good, that round thing. Is that a donut? Yeah. Would you like one? Okay. So they're getting better. But in our generation, we would just beg. Well, it's the crying out. It's the begging of God, to beg, to petition, to beseech. It's the mode of prayer which arises from a sense of need or want in our life. Psalm 54:2, hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. Pastor Chris mentioned this Sunday. God, give ear. Bends his ear. He leans in. God, give me audience. Give me ear. God, please listen. Give me ear to thy words. Blessed be God, it says in Psalm 66, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. James 5:16, confess our faults one to another and pray one for another. Do you pray for others or do you talk about others? Do you pray for others or do you talk about others? That ye may be healed, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I trust that tonight, even when we went through those names, coming off those pages are the burdens I have for the parents to raise their children. My wife and I were talking after Pastor's message, which was incredible, 2 weeks ago Sunday night, on praying for Generation Next, our children. And he mentioned the importance of praying even for the spouse of your children. My wife and I were talking, and she said, I remember when Nicole was really little, she'd get up in the middle of the night for feeding, and she got to thinking. She said, maybe Nicole's husband's mom is up rocking him right now. And then she said, I started to pray, not for that little boy, but for his parents, that they would be raised, that he would be raised right, that he would have values that we would raise our kids with. It's one thing to pray for the spouse, but it's another thing to pray for the parents. Because there are all kinds of different philosophies. There's all kinds of different thought processes out there. And just because some of our kids, even this semester, may meet, even at a Christian college, just because they meet some guy in English class doesn't make him a godly person. Neither does it for anybody that just walks into our Christian school or any of us that walk into the doors of our church. It doesn't make us godly. Yes, we're in a good spot and a good place to hear God's preaching, but it's establishing truth in the hidden parts of the soul, in the heart. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So, we're to trust God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Express your worship to God. Number three, express your need to God. That's supplication. And then tonight, number four, express your gratefulness to God. It says, with thanksgiving. That simply means gratitude. You see, Pastor Dan, we're only at the end of September, 1st of October. We're not supposed to preach on Thanksgiving, until November. No, the truth of the matter is, we're to have a spirit of thanksgiving all the time. That attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving connected with prayer. We can always find something to be thankful for. No matter what may be the burden of our wants, or the special object of the petitions that are on our hearts and on our minds. Of course, we know 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. I love what was pointed out to me a long time ago. It doesn't say for everything, but in everything. There's some things we're not thankful for, I understand, but we're thankful in spite of those things. We're thankful in the middle of whatever it is God is allowing us to go through. We have spouses that just lost their husband. They're not thankful for that. They're thankful in that. As they go through that, they are thankful that God is leading them, guiding them, and directing them. They are finding His peace. And they're finding the relief and the release of His love enough. They're finding it sufficient for them. No matter what your diagnosis was this week, no matter what problem is in your marriage or is it with your children, understand that we have much to be thankful for. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Psalms 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Offer unto God, Psalm 50, thanksgiving and pay the vows unto the Most High. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You may not be a pretty singer, but do you ever find yourself just singing or humming? Sure you do. Why? Because you're thankful for God. You're thankful in God. You're trusting in God. There is a tune in your heart. There's a tune in your soul. Perfect? Probably not. Maybe off tune? It doesn't matter. But do you have an attitude of praise? Do you have an attitude of thanksgiving? Gratitude. And that brings us to our last point here at the end of verse number 6. So we have thanksgiving. Express your gratefulness to God. Number 5, express your desires to God. It says there, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. That is our petitions. That is our requests. That is God. Here are my desires of my heart. See, if I'm after God's will, and if I'm in God's will, I know that He will give me the desires of my heart. I know people, well, how do I know if I'm doing right? How do I know if He will give me those things? You being God's will, you being God's word, we can trust Him and He will guide us and He will lead us in His paths. 1 John 5, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His what? Will. He heareth us. How do we know that? How do we know what His will is? That's our relationship with Him. That's by having a right relationship. You know when you're in God's will, don't you? We know when we're out of it, don't we? Our human relationships are very similar. We know when we have right human relationships, and we know when those human relationships aren't right. Either we are functioning properly together, or there's a faction or a friction in them. Verse John 5, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Ezekiel 36, 37, thus saith the Lord, I will yet, for this be inquired by the house of Israel to do it for them, I will increase them with the men like a flock. John 14, if you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. You know what God wants? He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask for His help. Because when I'm fearful, when I'm afraid, when I'm frustrated, when I'm anxious, when I'm at wit's end, however we want to say tonight, we have a God that knows our need. And all God wants is that relationship to be in the way that He wants us to ask Him. And you know what He wants? He wants to meet your need. See, God's not dangling His will. God's not dangling peaceful life in front of us and saying, you can't reach that, you can't obtain that, you can't have that. No, God wants us to have that peace. He wants us tonight to have that settled soul. He does not want you to be restless. He does not want you to be turning on that bed, to be flipping that pillow, to put the pillow over your head. He doesn't want you doing that. He doesn't want you pacing the floor tonight in worry. I don't know about you. I like my sleep. By the way, sometimes we do cry ourselves to sleep. Sometimes we do try to think our way through a situation or a problem. But tonight, what do? We trust Him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let a request. Express your gratefulness. Express your gratitude, your desires. Express your trust to Him tonight. Express your need to Him through supplication. Express your worship to Him. I think of these two verses and I'm done. Jeremiah 29:11. This is God speaking. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not an evil, to give you an expected end. Isn't that great? And then Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It is God that goes with us. I know, husbands, wives, you're hand in hand. I get that. And I hope that's the case. But you know what? We have God that goes with us. He will not fail thee. We fail. And see, I think that's what we do is we humanize God because we know we fail. We know we don't always trust. We know we don't always come through. But yet we have a God that loves us and cares for us. So whatever it is tonight, it may be health, it may be physical. You may be Pastor Dan right now. I'm trusting God. Well, praise God for that. But if there is a time that you ever fear, there is a time that anxiety comes over you. Or maybe tonight, maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a loved one. Maybe you have somebody that's recently reached out to you. Maybe you can share some of these verses tonight. Maybe you can share this just one simple verse. Most of you have it memorized. Maybe you have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 memorized. There's a great, within that, there's a great, I hate using the word formula, but there's a great formula within that. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. You can preach that. It's not hard. So maybe tonight this is just for you to be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe you'll post an encouragement to a friend tonight. Maybe somebody that's down. There are people that are hurting all around us. There are people around us that are afraid. There are people around us that are scared. We have people in this room. You don't know what the world's going to be like for your kids. I get it. This world isn't going to know. Your kids aren't going to know a world that you once knew. And we can sit here and be afraid, and we can sit here tonight and be worried, or we can trust God as we raise them for His honor and for His glory. And that's why we did what we did tonight. We pray for you as parents. We pray for your children. And we need to pray for each other. We don't know what's going on in somebody's heart tonight. We don't know who cried themselves to sleep last night that's sitting right here. We don't know that. We don't know that who just lost their job and they're frantically looking. We don't know. But we have a God in heaven that does. And we are to trust Him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let God know your heart. Let God know your request.